Maybe the Skywalker term is now a name for a Force user just in general.
If Luke Skywalker can project his Force Ghost to another planet, why can't Force Ghost be projected through time?
It's a bunch of clones, specifically of Rey, and she's just hanging on. This is gross. Meat hooks.
Oh, God! Meat hooks!
Welcome back to New Rockstars. I'm Philip Molina, and this is Rogue Theory. Today, we're talking about brains because they're being melted because of Rise of Skywalker. Not just because the trailer came out, and I'm so pumped about it. But, you guys know, we've been talking about it nonstop. But also, there's like news about Rise of Skywalker that is crazy, crazy, crazy. We're going to get into it on today's episode. We have Eric Boss from New Rockstars, of course. Sam Basher, guys.
Sam Basher
back. Yay! Marina Mastro is also back. Yay! Okay, we have to predict what crazy stuff. I'm like pretty pumped about
this. Shut up. We got to do this
now. I really want to talk about Star Wars. There's crazy stuff also that's going to happen in Watchmen because Watchmen was really crazy. Yeah. We're going to talk about that later, but who cares? The last trailer of Rise of Skywalker came out this week. You can see Eric did a really great breakdown of it.
Yeah.
Already, there's so much like that they're also hiding from us, even though they showed us a lot of new stuff. So I've been really excited to tell you guys about this.
You're like keeping yourself together right now.
Because Kevin Smith, a few months ago, said something that blew my mind about his mind being blown. Okay. And now I can't wait to talk to you guys about it and you guys about it. All right. So he visited the set of Rise of Skywalker and he was going to, you know, just take a tour of all the different locations. And this is big, guys. Listen to this. Okay. So there was, I guess, a room that was like, oh, by the way, in that room is the final shot of the movie, the set. That's what's in there.
Oh,
and the crew member that pointed out said, but if you look, it'll blow your mind.
Whoa.
And now I feel like that didn't like land as high. Oh, sorry. That's the big deal.
But the end of the story is, did he look?
Okay, so he didn't look, but here's the biggest like justification of why I'm freaking out about it. Because he asked his old friend, J.J. Abrams. He said, I can look in that room. And J.J.'s like, no. If you look in that room, it'll ruin the entire movie for you.
Wow.
Just based on the location. That was a much better reaction than
I was prepared now.
Eric's still waiting for a bigger one. And then, Eric, your family's here.
When's the shoe gonna drop?
He said the whole movie would be spoiled for him if he saw what was in that room and that it was mind blowing.
Yeah. Wasn't Harrison Ford just mooning him in there? He's like, JJ's like, don't go in there.
Look at me.
Yeah,
come in.
Is it coming?
Somebody's in here.
Eye contact with me.
You're going to blow your mind.
Guys, blow our minds. How will the last set, the last scene, the last location of Rise of Skywalker melt our minds?
By just seeing the set alone.
Just the set alone should melt our minds. I want to hear some theories.
Okay. Just if you walked into a set and you were like, now my mind's blown. It's a bunch of clones, right? Because that exists. And it's a bunch of clones specifically of Rey. And she's just hanging on. This is gross. Meat hooks.
Oh, God. Meat hooks.
Meat hooks.
Everywhere. And she...
Like they're going through her body and they killed all these clones.
They're not alive. They're not like alive yet. But it's a bunch of clones of...
Clones are never truly alive.
Or twins.
It's Star Wars
canon.
Yeah,
or twins.
You get one soul across all triplets.
Yeah.
Dolly the sheep was a piece of shit.
She was very mean to you that one time.
Yeah. But that's it. It's just like if he had walked into that set, then he'd be like, oh my God, this whole thing is just a bunch of clones of Rey.
Mm-hmm. Which would be Rey clone confirmed.
Yes.
Which would be huge. Okay, so whose clones are they?
They're Palpatine's clones.
Ooh,
that he
big
made
deep
them. Yeah, of course.
So
he wanted to have his own personal, you know, like army.
Clone army?
Wait,
would
so
you
he
say?
Owns yeah, clone the clones. Army. It's not his DNA. He's a clone owner.
He's a cloner.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Yeah, he owns cloner them and he created them. And but he doesn't want obviously anybody to find out about it, so he keeps them in his clone closet.
Closet.
So they're good.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're not out of the closet yet, but yeah.
Right, exactly.
Great. So they
okay, right? That would
be
crazy.
No. I'm loving it because Palpatine, I mean, the idea of a clone army has existed, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
And it was based on kind of like a great assassin, basically. They're like, what if somebody who's really good at killing, we make a bunch of clones of them?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's like, wait, shut up. Do it a Jedi.
Yeah, exactly.
Make clones of a Jedi.
Right.
Also, maybe Rey is already a clone, right?
Right, well, that would basically reveal that.
I'll throw out there from extended universe crap that there is a clone of Luke Skywalker, and he has the best name for a clone of Luke Skywalker.
Kluke Blywalker.
Pretty close. Luke Skywalker. There's literally one more U in the name Luke.
Very
That's
good.
L-U-U-K-E Skywalker. But here's the legit part of it. It's because of his hand that's been severed.
Oh, that's very cool.
Was recovered very quickly.
Yeah.
And that
was
used to
very
create.
Cool.
Luke.
So it just grew out the end of the hand.
It's like the starfish principle.
So they could be clones of Luke for your idea, but also maybe like a Luke altered clone who's like kind of the next generation of T-800 or something is Rey. Maybe.
Or whoever the host. I mean, if you're doing it, I don't know what. If they're doing it the traditional way, where it has to be birthed by a
man and a woman,
right? Like there's still a host woman who has like her DNA could just make it female and be, you know, Rey's mom. And there you go.
Yeah. Ooh, that kind of also
Rey's
like
mom is a surrogate.
It like verifies like when Kylo Ren kind of like throws away that your parents aren't important. It's like, oh yeah, because they just like donated their DNA and it got turned into clone warriors. That's pretty cool. But think
so,
about this:
partial clone factory, partial sperm donation center. Is that what you're implying?
It's a big galaxy. There's a lot of options.
It would blow my mind as a location. Stop by the sperm donating. I gotta make some money real quick. Finn, stop.
You're hard up for cash. Yeah,
like, wait, how do you guys feel about this clone idea?
It's not bad.
Yeah, something's gonna blow my mind. A bunch of young Mark Hamill's on meat hooks hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah,
it's pretty
or Mark Hamill's. Yeah, it could be that too.
I have to give you one Rogi, and then I'll clone it for a second. So I'm super into because it confirms Rey's a clone. It would blow our minds, and it would also tie in the prequels, which I think is fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Sam,
what do you think? Here you go. Think about this, and this is what people have wanted since we heard we were getting new Star Wars movies once Disney bought them. How about by the end of this movie, they've been talking about for a while that Sith bad boys, bad girls. Right. We don't want them anymore. Right. What you gonna do? Get rid of them. But at the same time, we're learning that the Jedi aren't. All that they're not up to snuff. That's
we're
what
very
the,
suddenly learning that.
Yes, and they're really trying to hammer it home as hard as they can. Even Yoda showed up in the last movie and was like, "You didn't even read the books, did you? You're not a real nerd. Get out of here." So
you don't understand.
Basically, we're learning that while the Jedi are the ones we've been trying to like follow and look up to, there might be a better way of teaching people the Force, because we know in The Last Jedi there are just people that are Force users out there in the galaxy that need to be trained in some way. So by the end of this movie, I feel like a brain-melting scene would be seeing some sort of academy or temple where they're teaching the Force, but they're not teaching Sith or Jedi. This is I'm pretty sure you've done a theory like this. There's been many theories like that out there that the Skywalker
name... Don't let
name,
Eric limit you. Go,
I want to give him a little attaboy. Maybe the Skywalker term is now a name for a Force user just in general.
Oh, cool. Someone,
lowercase s.
It's like the end of Buffy.
But so you're getting just Skywalker Force users. And you're getting in the sense that, and also we know that these like trilogies are cyclical. So with that, it could be in a larger cycle, the return of an academy similar to the Knights of the Old Republic, where you're having teachers who are training the next generation way better than Luke Skywalker. Apparently he's a bad teacher, we found out.
Yeah, well, he learned from nothing, right? He learned from a dying old man who barely taught him anything.
And now there's
no excuses
people.
For him. He had a chance with those kids. And then he tried to murder one of them in their sleep.
Bad
and
teacher.
No, he was holding a warm lightsaber over his head.
It was a nightlight for Kylo.
The heater went out. You know what? Like, it is troublesome because there's even fewer Force users going forward, but maybe with Kylo and Rey coming together.
They do establish at the end of Last Jedi that there are new Force users born every day.
True, but teachers who could help them understand their
what
they
could
do.
Right, but also, piggybacking on your idea that all the existing teachers have been bad, basically, then it's like, well, maybe there is a whole new way to look at it.
They're just setting up a credential system where you can actually become a teacher.
The school is to become a teacher. Just the Force-sensitive users that kind of could go in any direction. There's a bunch of those established. I definitely feel like if somebody were to just... Maz Kanata kind of talks about the Force in a way that kind of ignores the history of the Jedi. And I think she's an example of somebody that could potentially help teach it. She, it seems, is probably Force-sensitive herself, too.
Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, you're getting your X-Men or Harry Potter-esque school where people are going to learn how to use the Force, and they go out and they bring peace to the galaxy. Or they don't, and we find out in the next trilogy where they mess up again. But I think by the end of this, we're going to see a unification of the Force users. So.
Look, you know,
very
every
cool.
Ellen's...
Yeah. Very cool, yeah.
Oh, that's, they've been mentioned that a lot.
And that mirrors history, because like every 30 years, we find out that the past generation's curriculum in schools were evil in some way.
Right.
It
yeah.
requires them to be burned down and start a new one that is now the heroic leader of the new age.
So, okay, so I'm going to assign a Rogi. to this idea because even though I think that it is very good, I really love the idea of the balance of the Force. I also think it's there's one issue going on with Star Wars right now where a recent film kind of like felt like it shifted the trajectory a little bit of the saga. It had this theme very heavily in there of, you know, Jedi aren't so good. I mean, Benicio del Toro's character has a monologue about it.
Basically. Are you afraid to call The Last Jedi out by name?
They shifted kind of what it felt like the saga had been about. So now I feel like JJ's got a job to do, which is kind of like, okay, I need to make this just make sense for 9 movies. And like, this is one of the few things that I think could actually unify all the themes. I'll even throw out there that it works for Rogue One, right? Rogue One showed a very, dangerous guerrilla warfare style of like rebellion that is kind of calling out like that's not really okay either. So I'm giving you that rogue for that. I can't give you 2 because I think it's too likely to happen.
It's not rogue enough.
Wow. I think it'll learning the rules here. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Put some people on meat hooks and you'll be. You're
earning
deep.
Too many points.
Philip, I think you're exactly right that is where The Last Jedi or The Rise of Skywalker is heading, where JJ has this gargantuan task of having to tie in all these other films. Yeah. And that brings me to what my theory is. I think one of the biggest mysteries from the prequels, but one that I think people want to readdress, is the origin of Anakin Skywalker. He was, Shmi said that there was no father, implying this like weird immaculate conception.
Yeah.
Which, I heard that one.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. But Watto had a different story.
No, he looked just like me.
I don't think they're going to bring back Watto, but I do think if you think what kind of set would blow someone's mind,
right,
going back to Tatooine and seeing...
That'd be cool.
Like where Shmi raised Anakin as a child, maybe bringing back that actress, showing Anakin's childhood bedroom with like his 3PO that he was building as a child.
Oh,
wait,
cute.
We got to return to exactly what you just said. You mean in the past?
In the past.
You mean time travel?
That's one way. We could be seeing a version of time travel.
Rogue Theory, right?
You
can project.
We're definitely seeing time travel, so we'll get me an extra block.
Hook time machine.
Because like we can, if Luke Skywalker can project his Force ghost to another planet, why can't Force ghosts be projected through time? Was Luke Skywalker sitting there in The Last Jedi on that rock for the entire several hours projecting the Force ghost, or was he just in that moment projecting his Force ghost a couple hours ahead to confront Kylo? Now, do I think Rey and or Kylo Force projecting their Force ghosts back to the past, would that be the final shot? I don't know. That'd be a weird note to end this entire saga on. So if it's not that, I think some kind of flashback showing that moment, ending with like a young Anakin building 3PO for that. Because I think based off of this trailer, 3PO's sacrifice, whether he's interfacing with some new ship or if they're scanning his memories, which were wiped after Revenge of the Sith, I think ending with that moment of 3PO's light flickering on the first time in Anakin's childhood bedroom would be a really beautiful place and potentially a mind-melting place.
Like a new scene we haven't seen where it's young Jake Lloyd through CGI and he's like in bed or just inside and 3PO goes and he tucks him in and he's like, good night, Master Anakin. You will kill millions one day.
And 3PO just sits at his bedside with his lights on and his eyes just staring at him as he sleeps.
With a digital eyes don't turn on.
Robots aren't allowed to sleep. So I'm awake.
But he's
all
Palpatine
the night.
In there or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like the end, but I did like a lot. Well, you can't be
it's beautiful.
You can't find the unlikely. Of course, that's terrifying. Fine. I do really like the idea, though, of time travel. I even like it through the Force ghosting because it does 2 things. One, time travel is the one thing that's missing from Star Wars.
They're
right?
So close.
They've literally done everything else. Just throw in time travel. Why not?
Yeah.
And also, J.J. Abrams has done time travel before. But 2, also on a J.J. Abrams show, though he wasn't running it by the time, the idea that in death, time is no longer important. You're kind of unstuck in time.
Yeah.
I could totally see this idea that maybe every Force ghost we've seen from Yoda way back when to, you know, recently Luke, you could imagine these are all happening to them concurrently. They're just like doing this Force ghosting thing anywhere in time that it's needed. And so maybe one of these times is back then. But the thing that here, you've already earned a Rogi.
I'll take it.
But yes. Eric, the thing that this needs for me to give you a second one is I need to understand what new information we learn about Anakin's conception.
Maybe we learned that, I think just revealing someone that we know is Anakin's father. I don't want to say that Palpatine is revealed to be Anakin's father. I think that'd be too much of a downer to end the whole thing, that this weird senator from Naboo found some time to get over to, or that Sidious it's who too, existed like, long before.
Some senator had some side thing in a small town.
And I guess it wouldn't be the senator because Palpatine, the senator from Naboo, was a facade. It was really Sidious existed long before he decided politics would be the way to his fame and fortune.
So not Palpatine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down with it being somebody that we know, though, and you're saying Palpatine's too much of a downer.
Right.
I'm going to give you a crazy spin, then. Who would be an upper, exciting, interesting, huh? Rey is his dad.
Rey has his, how does that work?
What I mean, well, I don't know much about how that works, but I assume two people love each other, a baby happens. But I actually, her and Shmi, also look like other members. No, I think... In a non-sexual way, like if we've been, it's a little bit of Merging Marina's theory a little bit too, but like from what we understand the way Star Wars universe,
DNA,
catch DNA in your hand, you get a baby. Like, which I would have many babies of my own right now, but
you know
what I mean? Where it's like maybe there was like some essence of Rey or something that was used to make Anakin, and the only reason I know this is like stupid, ridiculous. The only reason that's interesting to me is because we've been worrying this whole time about who are Rey's parents, and it's like, oh, who cares? She's Vader's
dad.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
also a little bit the ending of one of the original South Park episodes of trying to figure out who Cartman's dad is, and it turns out to be his mom because his mom's a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, I mean, if it feels like predestination, right? Like I'm my own grandfather, or
exactly.
So she, it does make it full circle and cyclical. Do you get the Rogi for that one?
Yeah, give yourself a Rogi.
I'll save it, and if anybody needs it, and you can break the glass.
Oh, cool.
So she becomes the parent of Space Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
No, but remember at the end he says, "My bad," and then he gets to become like a happy young Force ghost, even though everybody else doesn't get to do that.
Yeah. It makes sense. It works out.
Actually, I really like all these theories. We did a good job of going rogue this week. Who do you guys like the most? Your own theories?
Yes.
I mean, the meat shop at the
meat shop
where there's like a young, because it like is a weird jab at fans. It's like, look, all your favorite characters can live on forever as clones, and then they just burn it down.
Oh, and it's like breaking the fourth wall where there's like a toy store or something where just like swinging like
in their plastic. Look, it'll be fine forever, and then they burn it down, and then they
move it. They like break that one, Britain melt little kids' minds. Like, this is how your toys get made. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Clone and shrink and hook them. Oh, I love it.
I like it.
Brain
it's,
melted.
It's ballsy.
Guys, we're going to get to our predictions for season one of Watchmen after this quick break to talk about a cool thing that we're doing with New Rockstars.
Hey, everyone. Eric here. We here at New Rockstars are super excited for The Rise of Skywalker to come out. Like, you know, we're just kind of buzzing around our office making that R2 screaming sound. Yeah, that's us. But one project we've always wanted to do is a breakdown of each of the classic Star Wars films, the original trilogy plus the prequels, to join the ones that we've done for the more recent films. But our plate is just really full with lots of other things we want to make for you guys, and each of those breakdowns takes like 2 to 3 times longer than the other videos we make. So, if breakdowns of the original Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith are something you would like to see New Rockstars tackle, please consider becoming a patron of New Rockstars Digital Studios. We are trying to expand our operation here to do even more stuff, and with your help, we can do it. Plus, patrons will receive perks of early access to certain videos and bonus exclusive classic film breakdowns each month. Check out the details for yourself by clicking the link in the description below or by going to patreon.com/newrockstars.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Guys, first episode of HBO's Watchmen series came out last week, and we loved it in that we love to be very confused by things. Mostly, we can't stop talking about it. So, based on the first episode, we're going to make some predictions on what's going to happen this season. The winner of this prediction round gets to replace Marina's picture, unless Marina wins again, but I have a feeling she's not going to, and I'll tell you why in a second, as whoever's the most accurate. So, she's up there because of her El Camino video. So, this gets graded in the future when we've seen the first season of Watchmen. The reason why Marina might not do so well on this is because she has not read the Watchmen comic, and I don't know how anybody's following even just this first episode without having read it.
It's very jarring if you haven't.
But I really like this perspective because I feel like this is more than half of the people that tuned into this episode also did not read the comic, so they're equally as confused. And
I represent a statistically significant percentage of the population.
And I can't wait to hear what your predictions will be.
It will sound like I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, guys. First off, we'll start with Eric. I want to know what Veet's plan is. Is it Veet? Veet?
Adrian Veet?
Either way, Ozymandias. Jeremy Irons.
We think, but I believe, that is it.
What's his plan for season one? What's he up to?
Why is he getting bathed like
that? Okay. So, dude, he's got some weird stuff going on. He's got this remote mansion he lives in. There was a newspaper headline that said he was declared dead.
Yeah.
That's why some people were saying, oh, maybe Jeremy Irons isn't playing. I think he is. I just think this guy is a master of cover-ups. I think he just doesn't want people to think he's alive. My theory is that he is going to be a similar figure to Ford in Westworld. Ford, a lot of people thought he was dead, or a lot of people think he's dead now. I don't know if he is. He's become this architect figure. He has these look like either clones or robots or whatever. People who don't know, they're like Janet. They're like, that's not a knife. That is a horseshoe.
Yeah.
There's servants who I think there's something wrong with that cake. Maybe it's made of wax or something. That's why he's like, okay.
Because they can't taste anything.
They're just trying to please him. I think he's built like a household of servants filled with like either robots or androids or clones of some kind. And he is the master watchmaker. He's putting on a play called The Watchmaker's Son. I think his plan is to use these clones to do his bidding. And I think really his bidding is he's trying to clone Dr. Manhattan. And he's trying to genetically engineer the new Dr. Manhattan.
And so Dr. Manhattan would be the Watchmaker?
Would be the Watchmaker's son. Because I think in the, he'd be the Watchmaker's son. The original comics, his father was a Watchmaker. Mm-hmm. So his play, his narrative is the Watchmaker's son.
That's a great theory.
Marina, how do you grade that based on what you know
based
about?
Based on everything I know? Sounds realistic to me.
I agree. You go, a rogue.
I got a rogue for that.
Pretty
good.
All right, Sam, what do you think?
All right, so from the get-go, we start back in the past. We go further past, we go further back than the comic even goes. And they show us the massacre in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And we're focusing on one child in particular who is a character in the present day and who has lived he's lived for far too long, so there has to be some tie to Dr. Manhattan or maybe Ozymandias in some way. My guess, since they are telling a narrative that has to do with, they're mentioning Watchmen, the original comic has to do with time a lot, I think we're going to get time travel.
Ooh.
I think it's going to go big where Ozymandias, his plan set in motion how the world behaves today. And I think, and also go on HBO's website, they have all these documents that are like the interstitials from the comic that fill in the gaps of what happened between the comic and now. And then explain how he can hide. And I really appreciate it. But my thing is that his whole thing is trying to create a world that has peace, and it's his version of it. So a way to do that is maybe he's using the tachyons that he's used to block out what Dr. Manhattan, and so he can't basically see what Ozymandias' plan is.
Before you explain, go too far in that, explain what happens in the comic around this idea exactly.
Yeah,
the tachyon.
Yeah, go a little further. I know what's going on, but for those of us
basically at the end of the last comic,
spoilers for the Watchmen comic.
For the comic, Ozymandias makes a big psychic squid and he teleports it in the middle of New York City and it kills a bunch of people and it basically ends the Cold
War.
That's
why there were, who's that?
Little baby squids. Little baby squids.
Yeah, I was like, what the F is going on?
The whole point is that for some reason, a dimensional barrier, that's the narrative, opened and this came out. And so,
right, they mentioned that, yeah.
And now we don't have any more threats on Earth. Why would we fight each other when there's going to be a squid in it?
Right, yeah.
So pretty solid.
So did it work?
Yeah, and it worked enough. It worked enough. The tease at the end is that maybe something
will come out and it will be outed that this was manufactured. And then there's also teases to that throughout this first episode. And because of the presence of the tachyons during the squid event, Dr. Manhattan, our Superman, was not able to do anything about it. He couldn't see what was happening. So Ozymandias, having access to all this sci-fi gobbledygook, is able to possibly go back in time and rewrite history in some way. I think because they're focusing so hard on the American hero story that we're going to get a lot of info about the first superheroes, the first vigilantes. I think he's going to go back and alter it in some way.
You earned this because time travel happened, and I'm a big fan of time travel. Apparently, this one happened. There you go. Okay, so he's going to alter time. He has to hide it from Dr. Manhattan, mm-hmm. who was not able to stop him last time. So he can't stop him again, but you got to go for it. What is he trying to change about time?
I think he has a grander vision, like he's writing his own play now, like he's creating his own life forms that are helping him out. I think he has a grander vision of what society could be. Mm. I think he has an idea of how to achieve peace in a totally messed up way. And by going back in time, I think he...
Giant squid.
Yeah. I think just make the squid show up earlier so that fear is instilled earlier so we worship the squid by present day. Exactly. Yeah, there we go.
Squid God.
Yeah.
I like most of that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Marina, what's Ozymandias' real plan?
Oh, well, I for sure know what it is. And
you definitely know which character we're talking about. Because they don't say his name in it.
They don't, but Jeremy Irons is in it.
Yes.
And this is just like, just, you know, pretend that you are sitting down to watch Watchmen for the first time and you did see the Watchmen movie, mm-hmm. but it was so long ago and you only saw it once. So,
and it turns out it doesn't help you either because it's
not ignoring that
story.
Oh, okay. Well, then great. And so just imagine that you watch this hour of TV and you don't know any of that information. And then you see squids falling out of the sky and a bunch of people doing a bunch of things that don't make sense. And then Jeremy Irons comes in. And he's rich and he has servants. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a play. You know what? I think I believe him. I think he's going to write a very good play. And it's going to be a very good musical as well. And those two actors are going to go on to be stars. And he's essentially, he's an old white Lin-Manuel Miranda.
He's going to Broadway.
He's going to Broadway. And he's just going to have a nice career. That's my take.
You know what? Logically, though, it exactly is setting
up
perfectly.
If you just watch that one episode, it makes total sense.
I think it's pretty rough.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be the most rogue for Watchmen.
Yeah. If
that
was just the story. Yeah, very likely to happen somehow. You got that. Both of those.
If you only watch that episode, it makes 100% sense.
Marina got a nonsensical rogue.
Very good.
But very sensical, actually. Guys, next question. All right. Judd. So, Don Johnson's character, Mr. Miami Vice, what is his secret? It feels like there's a secret reason why mm-hmm. he ended up the way he did. So what is his secret that we don't know yet?
I think he is the leader of the 7th Cavalry.
Which is the terrorist group.
The terrorist organization that has taken their inspiration from Rorschach. They wear the masks. They quote him. But they've fused it with their white supremacist agenda. I think he's the leader of that organization. I think he's a racist. And I think he was kind of playing both sides of the Tulsa PD and the 7th Cavalry.
And what's your, you don't have to have any, but what's your pseudo-evidence?
Well, he was murdered, and there was a scene at the beginning of the episode, this old silent film with Bass Reeves, mm-hmm. and he lassos and he gets the crooked sheriff.
Yeah.
He's like, this sheriff has been stealing your cattle. The white hat, they did the reverse of the old Western imagery. Yeah. The black hat captured the white hat, and it's like the young Will Reeves watched that, and he's like, yeah, listen to the law.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, he does the same thing. He lynches the crooked sheriff
who's
like, and clearly he's like, Johnson's doing weird stuff throughout this episode. He like covers up the evidence. He uses the owl ship to burn this the escaping 7th Cavalry people. He doesn't summon Lady or Sister Knight to do it.
In
like
time.
He calls her late, and he's kind of mad that she got one of the guys ahead of time to interrogate, which led to that cattle farm. Like, he's clearly not happy with this being investigated properly.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Rogie, first of all, for his theory.
That's great.
That was really good.
That was
and then
good.
He gets a quarter rogie.
Ooh, quarter rogie.
For all that delicious evidence.
Little brownies.
Yeah, that's great.
Also throw in there that picture, right? that they show
him. Oh, the picture, yeah.
As a little boy. Desk,
yeah. That's something. I don't know what it is yet, but it's something.
It could be that he's a little racist kid. And what's really funny about it is it's just a picture of a little maybe blonde boy in black and white. Mm-hmm. And it feels like something about pop culture taught us, like, that little boy's a racist. Yeah.
Yeah. Racist or the devil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an evil little kid. Mm-hmm. They had color and he chose not to use it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Was he directing Psycho here? Come on. Yeah.
I think you're on a great track here.
Judd's Secret.
I'd go with that. I think he has ties to the 7th Cavalry, but little twist. In the coming up on Watchmen, we learned that there are business owners who are coming into Tulsa, and they're saying that the future of the world starts here. So I'm going to guess that he has not only ties to the 7th Cavalry, I think he knows about Ozymandias. I think he has ties...
Jeremy Irons, the playwright, you mean?
Yes, the name. Yeah, the play. One, he wants to bring the play there. It'll be that. That's a new Broadway in this new world. But also, I think he has ties to what it means for the future of law enforcement and vigilantes, uh-huh. And that could have ties to big business. And there's a lot of political drama that's going behind the scenes in this world. We hear talk of the blue wave after Nixon left office and with Robert Redford. Mm. But in a more general sense, I think that Judd is responsible for possibly a newer threat coming in that is not just the 7th Cavalry. And I think it has ties to the new presidency and Ozymandias.
Wow. Mm.
And
all the way to the top.
In a more specific sense.
I love that.
Thank you. I don't have anything else after that. Yeah.
His secret is that he's got ties.
He's got ties.
A whole room full.
But like all grand ties.
We're talking long-reaching ties.
Yeah. That's
gotcha. So you kind of did the Price is Right move of takes Eric's theory. Yeah. Had 1 cent above that.
But not totally over. Valid.
But not
but
over.
Not over.
Yeah, that's a Getzerogi.
Wee!
A full Getzerogi.
One. Yeah.
A full one.
We're getting close.
All right, Marina, what's Don Johnson's secret?
Don Johnson, mine's pretty short and sweet. It's simple. Is that he's a good guy now, but he didn't used to be because he grew up based on that old picture. This is how you know. Well, whatever. Something about me is like I saw that old picture of him and an old white dude, and I was like, "Oh, old white men—they teach you how to be racist." So that was like my automatic thought.
That golf,
like golf. Yeah, this guy's a golfer for sure. And he, so he used to be. He has committed like bad crimes in the past, but it's like when he was anonymously in whatever that group is called. And he changed his ways. He's a good cop now. Like, genuinely, he's on the side of goodness or whatever. But he never paid for those crimes. So him doing whatever happens to him at the end is his payment for those crimes that nobody knows about.
Ooh. I actually really like this.
Because the lesson in the movie is that justice always prevails. So eventually it caught up to him.
I will assume that that's true, having seen one episode. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was going to give you a full rogie, but then you kind of like shot yourself in the foot there at
no!
the end to get a quarter.
Quarter!
Because it's really, really great, but then it sounds like you're not 100% sure about your own thing. Or what do you think?
He said that based on In This World of Watchmen.
He told me.
He said justice always prevails. And having seen one episode, I don't know that that's true yet, but I believe you, so it makes me more right.
Gotcha. All right. I regret giving you only a quarter.
Yeah!
I'm taking it back.
Yes.
Marina gets a full rogie. I'm actually most on board with Marina's theory.
Yeah.
But I think we might lose her here. What's going on with Dr. Manhattan?
Ooh.
Also, did you notice he was in the episode, Marina?
No. Also, who is that? No, I know he's a big
plastic surgeon in New York.
Naked guy. That's what I know who he is.
Yeah. He is. Yeah.
So, Dr. Manhattan, we know will be part of the show. We saw him on Mars demolishing his castle, which, if you notice, looks very similar to the castle that Vate, Jeremy Irons, lives in.
Really?
In the English countryside, wherever he is. Mm. It has the same architectural shape and design.
Mm, like he's doing a practice run?
Yeah, there's something with that. I don't know if he's doing a practice run and that's like his practice. I think that is Dr. Manhattan on Mars. I don't think Vate has the capability to travel to another planet yet. But I think the Dr. Manhattan is going to come back at some point. We've seen, you know, in the upcoming weeks and with the trailer, he's going to be there. I think either he is going to have to confront this proto Dr. Manhattan, kind of like Superman confronting Lex Luthor's proto Superman that he's built, you know, Bizarro, you know, mm-hmm. Or what we're going to see is Dr. Manhattan has been involved with everything we've seen in this fictional Watchmen timeline from the beginning. I might be looking into it, but in the opening scene of when the young Will Reeves gets the baby and he looks at this crash that he was in, there's this weird blue lens flare that seems like it's coming from the headlights, but the way this lens flare is, it's not just like a J.J. Abrams lens flare. Yeah. This is like, it seems specific. And the way that Don Johnson was, when he was blinded by this bluish light, Regina King was blinded by a bluish light. I think like Dr. Manhattan may be helping Will Reeves' character string up this body, that he's like guiding his old, like this old friend. I believe that Will Reeves is actually Hooded Justice, by the way. But I believe he's guiding his old former Minutemen. And he's now involved in like rearranging all the historical events because he's so apathetic. He's removed from space and time. He can see the past, present, and future all at the same time. He's just like trying to rearrange events so that they go according to this specific plan, which involves like killing Don Johnson's character.
It's kind of like another Doctor Strange. Yeah. He's all the options, except he has no shame about being like, you know what? I'm just going to change everything to go how I want it.
And then it will end with just like all of this reality collapsing in on itself and just becoming the reality that we know it to be. That this is all just like some cautionary tale that's inside Dr. Manhattan's vision of like how things could go if like history played out differently and if superheroes existed.
Interesting. That blows my mind.
I mean, that doesn't totally make sense.
It's pretty rogue.
But it will by the end of the series.
That was a direct attack on Sam.
It felt like it.
Sam, can you beat that?
Okay, so at the end of the Watchmen comic and the movie, Dr. Manhattan.
That's how I know who he is. Yeah. He's a big blue naked guy.
Long Dong Dong Johnson.
Blue Wang Group, yeah.
So he, at the end, is like, you know what, Ozymandias? I don't care anymore. He decides to say, you know, like that classic Futurama meme where the professor flies away off the planet and he doesn't want to live there anymore? Dr. Manhattan does that for the whole universe. He says, you know what? I'm done with this BS. I'm leaving. You guys figure out. All I'll say is, you think this is going to work? And this does not. And then he says, deuces, and he leaves.
Yeah.
What if we're not actually looking at the Watchmen universe that's from the comic or from the movie in this show? What if he actually did leave the universe and the reason why he's hanging out on Mars is because he's now observing a new Earth? So once he comes down to Earth, because we know he will, he puts on a nice suit, he orders a salad at a diner or something. He does something I don't think he needs to eat. I think he's now just observing how this universe will play out the events that he witnessed in another universe.
So
I think
the TV
version of Dr. Manhattan that we're going to see is he is just a casual observer of what is happening. He is not making any specific actions or reactions. And I think Ozymandias is going to try to take advantage of him in some way, but I don't think he's an actual threat throughout this entire show.
He's a watcher.
Just a watcher. That's it. I think that's all that's going to happen. Dong will be here, and I promise it will be. HBO's got the budget for it. Larger than ever, but I don't think he's going to be an actual threat in this show. I think Ozymandias is the real threat, and I think Dr. Manhattan is like a false lead.
Gotcha. So he'll basically do
he's
nothing.
He's on vacation. Yeah. He's too expensive for
it's
the
pretty,
people.
Pretty rogue to have that
that's pretty rogue.
Not do anything. Yeah, there
thank
you.
You
get a point.
I got a full one.
Ask me my idea.
I don't know if we have time.
No, it's very short. No, please.
Marina, what's Dr. Manhattan up
okay,
to?
Okay, so you think Dr. Manhattan isn't a threat, but I think he's a triple threat. And he auditions for Jeremy Irons' play and books the lead. He's a dancer. He's a singer. He's an actor. And he goes on to have a fabulous career on and off Broadway.
Yeah. That's so pretty good. Yeah.
The applause is all the reward you get for that. You don't get another
as is
point.
The case for most stage performers. The applause
it's very
is
true. Yeah.
Because they are not
take
paid.
A bow, Marina, for that. Guys, I enjoyed all of these. I don't think that we're going to be very right at all, but we'll see.
I think I might have a chance.
I like that you keep calling him Jeremy Irons. I hope they start calling him that on the show, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Jeremy Irons in that weird voice he's doing. Guys, it's almost wrapped up. I do see that Eric's actually in the lead.
How is that
with
possible?
4.25. But
good work.
There is, just as we wrap up here, there is one last way things can change. And reminder that the winner with most points at the end gets their wish to come true. And I have your wishes here.
Okay.
But this is our final chance for points. And these are rogue questions.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, it's Halloween next week.
Yes.
Pitch me, what's the best nerd costume you can have this year?
Dr. Manhattan, and you just paint yourself and you just walk outside.
I'll remind you, it's a children's holiday.
But I stand by my choice.
Quarter rogue yeah! from Marina.
Honestly, if you really want to scare the kids, do Iron Man after his face got melted off when he snapped his fingers.
Oh, that's scary.
I put it out there. If you want to do real scary, that's how you do Halloween.
It's also
very
sad. I put that on my Instagram story,
bro. It's just like, I mean, you have to, right? It's the most recent version of Iron Man.
Zombie Iron Man, yeah. I would do Cap and Peggy dancing with each other. Aww. So like one arm is Cap's arm, Peggy's the other arm.
You're the like risque so guy at prom in 1999. Yeah. So he was like, I did two-sided.
It's like a message. It's a hidden message I'm both of these things. Or
cute.
Neither.
Eric,
with your labels.
A quarter. Guys, real question. Director Pedro Almodovar said this week that Marvel movies lack sexuality. What's the sexiest of the Marvel movies, though?
This is easy. No problem. Oh, sorry, you seem like...
No. By all means.
Ant-Man. And the Wasp.
Just because it has Paul Rudd.
It has Paul Rudd, but also has Evangeline Lilly.
Yes, just put that definitely. Out there.
Yeah, Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer together, and they're hugging, and possibly kissing. I don't know if they're allowed to kiss in Marvel movies. I think they are. Pretty sure. And you get, those are all you need. I think Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer are all the sexual energy you need in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Ragnarok's pretty sick. We were a frame away from Hulk dick in that movie. A frame away from Hulk
dick. You checked.
Yeah. Yeah, I went frame by frame.
I'm gonna say all the early Iron Mans because he's just an F machine. He just goes through with ladies at leisure and pleasure at his own pace.
Leisure and pleasure. I don't have enough blocks to keep giving them out. Wait, no, I do. Okay, you get one.
Yay!
And you get one, and then can you give that one to Eric down at the end? Woo! I'll also throw out there that the correct answer about that last one was definitely Scarlett Johansson is just tickling Hulk's palm. It's like big guys
Age
waking
of Ultron.
Up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Whatever,
their little hand foreplay.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
True.
And last row question. Oh, and it works out nicely. I do have one last block I can give out. It's one of them.
Oh my God.
Sebastian Stan, who plays the Winter Soldier, said in an interview that his new Wakanda made arm, it gonna have some new tricks.
Ooh.
What's the least expected new trick that arm could have?
Spinning a basketball, Harlem Globetrotter style.
He grabs it. Did it play the music? Did it play the music?
Dang, that's the best answer in the world.
Oh my God, the Globetrotters are suing us. I mean, throw a basketball.
And I think that means that Eric is probably our winner of this episode.
Oh, yes. Six and a half.
Sam, we don't have the rights to that song. Marina's, that'd be great. But not happening another time. And then Eric's. Everything everyone says for the rest of the episode, we must sing it to the melody of the Star Wars theme song.
Yes.
I already messed that up.
Yeah. So you...
You
have to talk like this for the rest of the episode. If you don't, you'll be in trouble.
Thanks so much for going rogue with us. Thanks to our guests, Sam Basher, Marina Basher, and Eric Voss. Do you have anything to add?
We got some great videos to come to the channel about what's really in that vault that Rey and Kylo are in the trailer.
Follow us all on Twitter. All of us on Twitter. Rogue Theory. Hashtag what? Yeah, go.
Am I allowed to plug something?
Yeah.
Or follow me at Sam Basher on Twitter. There you go.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Watchmen.
Breakdown.
Watchmen breakdown.
Guys, don't forget to get this as a podcast so you could listen to this nonsense. And follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars. Follow me at Philip Molina on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you guys so much.
Philip Molina.
Philip Molina.
He is on Twitter.
He can commit those crimes.